Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And we're going to be talking about what's going on financially. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is the real problem that faces America. It has been known throughout history that whenever you allow the government to print all the money it wants to, thinking you can print itself into prosperity or out of problems, you end up with a disaster. It's been tried dozens of times throughout history, and dozens of times it's led to the collapse of the government. And that's exactly what the people who are running our government want, because out of that chaos is going to come the call. The call for stability, for return to the way that things used to be. And that, of course, will involve establishing a world government, a world monetary system, a world currency, a world religion, and enthroning the new world leader. And it is all going right according to plan. If you don't think they planned this, well, I think you're incredibly naive. Why do you think that 3 or 4 years ago, back in 2005, they changed the bankruptcy laws so you couldn't get out of bankruptcy? Why do you think that Hank Greenberg, formerly the CEO of AIG, the largest insurance company in the world, took out a bet against his insurance company for about $200 million, and actually has made $200 million as the stock value of AIG has crumbled? I mean, suddenly these people knew exactly what they were doing. And Elliot Spitzer, back in February of this year, wrote about this scam that was going to lead to the housing scam, that the faulty lending practices were going to destroy our economic system. Why, within a month, the FBI had announced he was soliciting prostitutes, and I don't justify that. But what I do point out is that, certainly, Elliot, that is not a federal crime. The FBI began tapping Spitzer not because he was involved in criminal activity. They were out to get something on him because the establishment, the people who run our government, wanted to get Spitzer. Why? Because he was trying to tell the people in February of 2008 that the whole economic system was coming down, and all the state attorney generals had tried to do something about it and were effectively blocked by the Bush administration, who said, everything's under control. We'll take care of it, and they have. And you can see what's happened. Bob Chapman, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Well, you're welcome. And I was just thinking of the individual who helped rig the voting in Ohio, who had been threatened by Karl Rove. Yesterday, his small plane crashed.
Oh, isn't that a shame? Well, those things happen so often to people who, of course, are an embarrassment to the people in positions of power. Well, I wanted to ask you, certainly one of my very good friends, very astute, wants to ask you, you know, certainly we've seen tremendous loss of money in the stock market, tremendous loss of money in the commodities, tremendous loss of money in the housing market, and the values of homes have plummeted. Certainly, do we have any idea how much money has been lost, and how does that compare with the amount of money and credit they're creating artificially and throwing into the market? In other words, are we keeping up with that, and what's the difference? After all, we're losing money, we're creating new money. Where's the problem?
Well, as far as the market's concerned, I don't have a definitive figure, but I do remember that when we called the top of the market in April of 2000, from then to the bottom in 2003, about $9 trillion was lost. And the average person probably lost somewhere between 45 and 75%. So the lack of a number will be conservative, say 55% of their money.
Hold that thought. Okay, go right ahead, Bob.
And this time, the market fell on a Dow basis from 14,100 to 7,800. It's now at 8,600. I would say that was 550 points. 5,500 points.
Right.
So that's probably around the same drop that occurred early on in 2000 to 2003. So the loss is probably around 40, we'll say 45% to be conservative. Now, just since this past year, we have a number of institutions such as CalPERS and California Teachers, Harvard University, Yale University, losing amounts in aggregate around 30%. And so that's just in 1 year. They lost money. I don't know whether they lost money last year, and I don't think they did, because the beginning of last year was fairly good. So they probably did make money. But 2009, I would say the best the Dow can hope for is 6,000. Supports at 7,268. So that's about 2,600 points more. So that would, if you had stayed long from a year and a half ago, which would be, say, the beginning of July of 07, and let's say you're a long-term investor, you probably would have lost 55 to 60% again, maybe more, depending upon the kind of stocks that you had. And what is that in dollars? Probably 10, 11 trillion by the end of 2009. So the amounts of money are very large. And as you know, the bond market has seen its biggest bull market ever. And that's because the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve are deliberately driving down interest rates in order to bring down mortgage rates so they can qualify people to be able to buy homes. And in that process, again, they have distorted a market, in this case the bond market. And so what's the next step? Well, bonds can't go up forever. And yields in the short paper, which is 1 month, 6 months, are around zero. And it's funny, they talk about gold producing no interest.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, certainly we've been talking to Bob Chapman about really what's happened. Chris, he thinks the stock market's going to continue dropping, and we're talking a 10, 14, 15 trillion dollars all told lost in the stock market. Bob was making the point, of course, that the people have lost a tremendous amount in real estate, but he says that the bond market's done fairly well, but haven't junk bonds and corporate bonds really, of course, lost a tremendous amount of money? The only thing in the bond market that's doing well are T-bonds? Are any of the other bonds doing well?
No, the corporates have not performed anywhere near as well, because the United States government and the privately owned Fed have no interest in them, except perhaps with special issues, like big aluminous companies such as General Electric or Goodyear or whatever. But the bond market can't continue to do what it's doing. And as I said, very often these smug people on the major media will say, well, gold doesn't pay any interest. Well, neither do 6 month and 1 month and 1 week treasury bills either. So they must be lousy investments too, I guess. But you can see the fallacy of what they've been piping here for the last couple of months. I think that the bond market is eventually headed for a large fall. How long that will take remains to be seen. It'll probably have to be affected by some untoward event. One of the problems with markets today, as well as society, is that people are so steeled to negative things happening in their lives that it doesn't have the import. I mean, if somebody owned a stock and it dropped from 100 to 50 15 years ago, people who really get excited about it. Today, they don't think anything about it. And so...
I think so many people are hanging out of their stocks waiting for them to come back again. I know I talked to a very intelligent physician not too long ago who had lost about 40% in the stock market. But he's waiting. He's invested for the long term, and he's waiting for them to come back again. I think he's probably going to be long since dead before they do come back again. But that's just my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think he's probably waiting for the second coming.
Right.
I shouldn't say such a facetious thing, but the point is that what you said is true. Markets have totally changed today. There's no logic. There's no fundamentals. There's no nothing. And the reason why is all of the markets, because of the executive order, are being legally manipulated. Today, at the close, as you noticed and spoke about it earlier today, the stock market reversed 250 points in the last 10 minutes. That's not normal. Markets don't do those kind of things, but particularly when there's no news. I mean, if some interesting, terrific news came out, you could understand it, but no such thing happened. That happens all the time. And anybody who's in the stock market or bond markets has got to know, if they got any sensibilities whatsoever, that these markets are rigged. And who are the big winners? Well, you got all the major brokerage firms like J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs and Citigroup and all through the whole group of them, and then all of their friends. And they know what's going on before the world does. And they just step in and go long this and short that. And in that process, they could become filthy rich. And that's why they're so arrogant.
Well, that's because they're above the law, like Mr. Madoff. Well, let's go ahead. But basically, the theme is, look, we've lost a lot of money in housing. We've lost a lot of money in the stock market. We've lost a lot of money in most of the bond market, although not in T-bonds. So why should we be concerned? Is because they're going to turn out about another $10 trillion suddenly in money and credit here. They've said they're just going to have to print enough money just to get the economy working again, get everybody back working. Everything's going to be fine. We'll just print enough money, and we're simply replacing what has been lost. What's wrong with that philosophy?
It's sociopathic. That's what's wrong with it. It's wrong, and they think it's right.
Well, I think
they make up anything they want to make it think it's right.
I think down the line it's going to result in a Weimar Republic type of hyperinflation that's going to destroy our currency, and then they're going to say, "Oh shucks, we had no idea what we were doing. Oh shucks, we're so stupid." I don't think they're stupid at all. I think they know exactly what they're doing.
Well, I was on Wall Street for 28 years, and I couldn't agree with you more, because they do know what they're doing. They are very smart,
and there's no better,
when it comes to making money.
And there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency. And Mr. Bernanke and Mr. Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, and of course Bernanke, Chairman of the Federal Reserve System, they know exactly what they're doing. They went to the Bilderberger meeting in June of this year and met with the guys who run the world financially, and they're simply doing what they're supposed to. Destroy our currency, destroy the currencies of the world, and the whole world will be willing to go into this one-world system that they're planning. You're reading about it all the time, between the lines, you get the articles off the Internet. So many people, the Europeans, are talking about the importance of this one-world government, this new world monetary system. People at the G20 were talking about it. We're just going to have to come up with an alternative. The old system, which we destroyed intentionally, just doesn't work. So we're going to have to now have a world monetary system run by the same guys that created all the current problems. Well, what can people do out there, Bob? Certainly the average person listening to our program, certainly worried about their life savings. They've worked hard to accumulate, to save for the retirement, to save for their families, and what are they going to do? Certainly down the line, we're going to have really rampant inflation, don't you think?
I think we've got it already and have had it for some time. It's just it's going to become hyperinflation. It has to. Inflation can only come from monetary excesses. All the other things that you see, like higher prices, are a product of that excessive behavior. And that's what classical economics is all about. And the only way you can solve that problem is by purging the system of these misappropriated investments, or investments that were never appropriate in the first place. And so that is the way that we will have to go. And that is an eventuality. It's holding oneself together during the trying times that precede that. And we've been in those times for the last 8 years, and they've been able to extend the timeline by creating the real estate bubble, both in residential and as well as commercial. And now they've deliberately created a credit crisis, and that credit crisis